Overall, the Canadians won the game, and I don't even know if anyone talked about that. Everyone was focused on the Scheifele, on Jake Evans' hit late in the game after Evans salted it away with an empty net goal. Montreal wins game one, 5-3. So, Sean, we know he's going to get, we assume Scheifele's going to get suspended. How many games do you think he gets?
Oh, it's tough to tell how many games. I know this has been the talking point ever since I started the post-game show after the game last night, which even got extended an hour because everybody wanted to talk about it. But I think the numbers of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on last night's post-game show has calmed down to possibly 2 or 3, knowing that he got the phone hearing today. And I guess we're expecting any moment to find out how many. But if you were to ask me with everything and the circumstances, I think 3 is a nice round number that they can use. It doesn't get Mark Scheifele back in a game in Montreal. It kind of avoids those two games in Montreal, and then he would be possibly good to go for a game 5.
When you look at that, I mean, it sounds like Evans is going to be okay, but it is really in a weird twist. It's the hit, it benefits the Habs so much because, I mean, Scheifele was expected to do a lot and carry a lot of the burden, and now it would change a lot of the matchup questions or issues that maybe head coach Don Ducharme had.
Oh, yeah. Depending on how long Scheifele's out, it definitely changes the matchups and what Paul Maurice wants to do. And, just on Jake Evans, I know that, the good news, he seems to be better and all that stuff, but he is diagnosed with a concussion. That's his third concussion since 2018. In the rookie tournament a couple of years ago, he got hit hard. In the playoffs last year, he got hit hard, and that was a headshot as well. So he's gone through it a couple of times, so who knows what kind of recovery he's going to have to go through. It could be something like John Tavares, and he's skating in a week, or we may not be able to see Jake Evans until next year. So no idea on the Jake Evans, but for the Jets, losing Scheifele for how many games? If it's 1, 2, or 3, it's significant for Winnipeg.
Montreal came in, and in the first period, Winnipeg looked, I don't know, maybe a little bit rustier. Maybe Montreal just came out better. Part of me wants to just give Montreal credit because in 5 of the 7 games against Toronto, they had the first goal. They're 4-1 in those games. Now they're 5-1 in games that they score first. And the average in the NHL playoffs is 69% if you score first. But the Habs have won 5 of 6. So when they get the lead, they've done a great job of holding it in the NHL playoffs so far.
Yeah, I think it's the first time you've really seen, since Dominic Ducharme take over, the fact that this team knows how to hold that lead. And I say that knowing full well that they blew 2 leads against the Leafs, 3-0 and 2-0. But even when the games are tied, they know exactly how to play the game. The Canadians are not a good team when they trail. They struggle offensively. It's something that they've always, had a tough time, getting back in games. They don't have that dynamic goal scorer that can change the game at a whim. So they need that first goal. And then when they get that first goal and then you kind of just turn and you lean on a system, then you lean on a Weber, a Sherrod, an Edmondson, a Petrie, and then you lean on a Carey Price, it's a much better formula for the Canadians to win.
Sean, when you look at the acquisition of Eric Staal, we know it was, it feels like in the regular season, maybe it didn't really pay off, but in recent games, are you seeing maybe why Bergevin brought him in and some of the plays and the subtleties in his game that are paying off now?
Yeah, subtleties in his game. He's leading the team in scoring. Eric Staal had 3 points in 20-plus games with the Canadians, and now in the playoffs, he's leading them in scoring. And I know a couple of just, hacking pucks away, and it goes to a guy who scores in an empty net, but he's being relied on when it's an empty net out on the ice. They trust him. And the one person that's smiling more than anybody else is Mark Bergevin, because during the regular season, it did seem that Eric Staal was the guy that was going to sit out. And, it was Jesperi Kotkaniemi that sat out that first game. And everybody, you talk on the radio, you talk on the, in the newspapers, on the TV, it was Eric Staal's got to sit. He did nothing down the stretch. But Mark Bergevin must be smiling with the way that he's playing, the little things. And he's that skilled grinder. He has skill. He's not the player he used to be, but he has accepted his role, and he has done it to a T in these playoffs. Absolutely. And that fourth line with Perry and Armia is something that teams are going to have to deal with.
Sean Campbell joins us from TSN 690 in Montreal. So Shifley's out. We know he's going to be out. We just don't know how many games he's going to be out for. And, you know, you look at Montreal and Carey Price. And because there is, it was funny, you know, if you talk to Montreal fans a week before the playoffs, they're like, oh, Carey Price, brutal. James, Carey Price is frustrated. And now they love him. Like, so where is the, like, the real stat on Carey Price? Like, his numbers for a few years, you know, weren't necessarily great, but I don't think they were as bad as some claimed. And was it just the rest? Because, man, this postseason, he's been unreal. He's looking like Hart Trophy Carey Price.
Oh, yeah, he's looking Hart Trophy. He's looking like, you know, it's round two. He's looking like Conn Smythe Carey Price. And out of all the performances in the first round, I know that everybody loved MacKinnon and Kucherov and what they were able to do. Yes, it was great. But Carey Price was right up there with what he did to the Toronto Maple Leafs, what he did to Matthews and Marner, because those guys got their chances. They had their shots, but they just couldn't bury it. And then you saw in Game 6 and 7, Matthews and Marner, they weren't even hitting the net. They were so overwhelmed by what Price was doing to them, they could not even hit the net when they got those big chances. But you mentioned right there the rest. If you look at Carey Price when he comes off a rest, it is unbelievable. Even you know, the bubble last year, coming in out of nowhere at beginnings of seasons, the Canadians usually start seasons very well, and it's usually because Carey Price is on his game right away. When he gets rest, he is dynamic. That's why I was curious about what was going to happen in game one, because he was coming off a 7-game series and there's no rest. And this is the most that he's had to play in a row in a long time, because for the most part, they sheltered him with Jake Allen all season long and then he was hurt. So this is the biggest stretch he's had, but he is on his game. And whoever faces the Canadians, and right now it's the Jets, they have to watch out because he looks so comfortable in goal.
Joined by Sean Campbell from TSN 690 in Montreal. Sean, the top four D-men for the Habs are playing a ton, and they play a hard brand of hockey. Is there any thought or concern from you and some other media types in Montreal that they got to find a way to get just a few more minutes into the fifth and sixth D-men, and that kind of changes night in, night out?
Yeah, I think, you know, when they get those 2-3 goal leads, or they're in a game that's going pretty well in the third period, they really got to start resting, you know, the Sherratts and the Webbers. There is a legitimate concern about how much they're playing. You know, there's been a lot of talk about where everybody is, you know, depth-wise. Everybody wants Romanov in. Merrill was hurt. That's why he was taken out. But Gustafsson and Kulak are the two guys that have been playing lately. Gustafsson is more power play only, and then a little bit, and then Kulak is the one guy I think they can use a little bit more. He's shown that he can play those top four roles. He was outstanding in the bubble last year. They used him 10 minutes last night, 12 minutes the other night. I think they can bump him up to 15, 16, and maybe go to a rotation around, you know, 15 minutes or so. But it's just when they're in a tight game, they just don't trust anybody else.
When you look at Kotkaniemi, and like you look at Kotkaniemi specifically, because man, he got healthy scratch to start the playoffs, and he's been excellent since. Now, was it the healthy scratch that got him going? Because last year in the bubble, he was a lot more impactful than he was in the regular season. Is this just a guy who's cut now? This is 2 years in a row where it looks like he seems to be, you know, he's more engaged when the games mean more.
Yeah, he's got 8 goals in his 17 playoff games. By the way, we could rag that he doesn't have any assists if you want, but yeah. It's pretty unbelievable for what he's been able to do. So, Kotkaniemi last year, let's go through this. At the end of the season, he was in the AHL, and then the season ended. And even when they were going into the bubble for training camp, the only reason Kotkaniemi started was because Max Domi didn't start training camp because of COVID concerns, because of the diabetes that he has. So he was late to training camp. There was the whole Max Domi being on the fourth line. But Kotkaniemi showed up at training camp. They were like, wow, he's different. And even heading into playoffs, he struggled down the stretch again this year. And he deserved to be a scratch just by the way that he was playing in the regular season. But I don't know what it is about the playoffs. He goes to the dirty areas. Look at all the goals he's scored. And I know the overtime winner was a wrist shot from the high slot. Everything else, he takes the puck and he goes to the net. Yes, he's a big, gangly body, but that big body is going to be a problem for a lot of teams once he realizes when he goes to the front of the net, no one could stop him. And he just creates chaos. Most of the goals are because he's standing next to the goaltender.
Nick Suzuki, are we seeing this guy evolve into what would hope to be a longtime playoff performer for the club?
Oh, this team is excited about this player. I'll tell you, I'm excited to watch Nick Suzuki for years to come in the Montreal market. I might be higher on Nick Suzuki than a lot of people. I see that goal last night, and I have visions of this point-a-game player plus that the Canadians have dreamed about. Now, he's intelligent. He's smart. He's slick. He's patient. He can shoot and score. He can make somebody look great next to him, and I think he and Caulfield are going to develop something. We've seen moments of that. But once they start clicking, I think the NHL is going to have to watch out. Caulfield's still trying to find his groove in the NHL. But Nick Suzuki, the evolution of Nick Suzuki is pretty remarkable. And the thing is, watching him perform in these playoffs and in the bubble last year, I think that's a really good sign for a young player and what he's been able to accomplish.
Sean, great to catch up to you. Enjoy the series. It'll be interesting to see what the suspension is for Mark Scheifele. I'm sure whatever it is, no one's going to agree on it. So it'll be fun for a talk show host.
I'm sure just at Edmonton, you guys were happy to see someone beat Winnipeg at least once.
Oh! I like it!
Good for Montreal. Good for Montreal. I actually picked the Habs to win this series, so I'm happy.
Have a good one, guys.